We're going to start with John 14, and this is on page 1082. And you will know that John's Gospel, chapter 14, 15, 16, is where Jesus talks about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And read three chapters to you. I'm just going to pick out some verses. And first of all, you see John 14, verse 15 to 17. And it's under that heading, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And then just across verse 25 to at the top of the next page. Verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And then chapter 15, hope you're still with me. Chapter 15, right at the bottom right-hand side of that page, verse 26. Page 1083, right at the bottom on the right-hand side. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And then chapter 16, verse 12, so about halfway down on the left-hand column, page 1084, verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while, you will see me no more. And then, after a little while, you will see me. So four short passages there, all about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we've been thinking recently about seven steps to freedom. Seven steps that it seems to me, if we take these seven steps and we embed these things in our lives and we're determined, I want to take these steps and make them well, that they are meaningful for me, returning to them if necessary, if we feel we haven't grasped hold of them. Seven steps, if we take them, will lead us to a new and fresh sense of freedom in our lives and with God. And these are the seven we've already looked at, accepting the call. And there we reflected on this very simple fact that Jesus, as we read of him in the Gospels, is immensely attractive. What he taught and what he did, the way he was, the person that Jesus was, is immensely attractive. But then there comes that point. When Jesus turns to Peter at the end of John's Gospel, and says, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Peter, do you really love me? You know I do. And then Jesus issues the call that takes us beyond, I'm attracted to Jesus. I like Jesus. But takes us beyond that. Jesus says, follow me. And we come to a point where, regardless of what happens now, I will follow him. And the second one about forgiveness, we reflected on the story that we know as the parable of the prodigal son. And we thought about sin that is right at the heart of who we are. But more powerfully, perhaps, and more profoundly, the shame that goes with that sin. And the chances are, it seems to me that the reason we struggle sometimes in our relationship with God is not so much sin, but it is shame. We don't feel worthy, we don't feel good enough to come to God. But there is the Father who welcomes us and forgives us just as we are. Maybe sometimes we struggle to get our head around that and understand that, yes, our Father, our Heavenly Father, receives us and forgives us. And He welcomes us back. And today we're going to reflect on the third, receiving the gift. Receiving the gift. And thinking about receiving a gift, of course, we're speaking about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in one of those verses, I read John 15:26, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me. He will testify about me. And just stress those words. He will testify about me. And what I want to reflect on today in receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, is this. When the Holy Spirit comes to us, when the Holy Spirit comes close to us, what is the work of the Spirit? What is the job of the Spirit? Now, I guess if I had a whiteboard up and I said, okay, give me some suggestions, we could probably fill the whiteboard with all the different things that we know the Holy Spirit does, either from our own experience or from what we read in the Scriptures. But I want us to reflect on this, that the Holy Spirit's work is about Jesus. Jesus, in John 14, has already said to His disciples, I'm about to leave you. I'm about to go to a place, you know where it is and you know where I'm going, so don't be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And Thomas, remember, he turns to Jesus and says, we don't know where you're going. How can we know? We've no idea. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And He gathers them and He reassures them. And then He says, I'm not going to be with you. But God, the Father, will send another counselor. A counselor, one who will stand by you. Who will be with you. Who will fill you. Who will be with you just like I've been with you. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to bring Jesus to us. All that we know of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's desire is to bring Jesus to us. All that is Jesus, and I just list here, so we could reflect on the values of Jesus. We could reflect on the desires of Jesus, His mindset. The Holy Spirit wants to bring that to us. His ambition. Jesus have ambition? You think He did? As I wrote that down, I thought, ambition. His desire was to please His Father. Maybe that was His ambition. But also the Holy Spirit would bring the love that Jesus has. He would bring it to us. The joy that He had. The delight that He had. Receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit is about receiving Jesus. And that's going to be at the heart of this reflection now. That we might know what it is to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but understanding in amongst lots of things that are said and have been taught and have been reflected upon about the work of the Spirit, understanding this right at the core of what the Holy Spirit does is to bring Jesus to us. Because the Holy Spirit's desire is that we should know Jesus. That we should be filled with the life of Jesus. And as I often do, I'm going to give you now three responses. And these three responses I will pick up at the end. So before I've said any more, three responses that we'll reflect on. The first one is yes. The second is place, and the third is time. So if you fall asleep at this point, and you don't hear anything else. Hopefully you'll remember those things, yes, place and time. And you come up to me and say, oh man, what were those responses? What do they mean? Or maybe you can ask somebody else, what was Ed talking about? But those are the three responses, it seems to me, we need to make if we are to take this particular step of receiving the Spirit, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing is this. There are five different things I'm going to put up. The Spirit brings love into our hearts. The Holy Spirit brings love into our hearts. Why can we say that the Holy Spirit brings love into our hearts? Very simply, because Jesus was filled with love. So if the Spirit brings Jesus and all that is Jesus to us, the Spirit brings love into our hearts. Jesus is able to say that the one thing he wants to do is to obey his Father because he says, I love my Father. He loved. Jesus loved. We know that. When he met people, he was stirred with compassion, with kindness for the sick and for the needy, for the poor, for those who came, the prostitutes who were regarded by everyone as unworthy and as untouchable. He reached out and embraced them and received them. The woman who was found in adultery and dragged before Jesus in front of a mob. Let's stone her. But Jesus, no. What did he do? He loved that woman. And even the rich young man who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, you know, said Jesus. You know the commands. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Your neighbor as yourself. Love, your honor your father and mother. Keep the Sabbath and so on. And I feel like the rich young man, he interrupts Jesus. I've done all that. Tell me what I must do. And Jesus says, sell everything you've got. Give all the money to the poor. And we are told that that man, he couldn't do it. And he went away. But Jesus looked at him and loved him. And so when the Spirit comes to us, bringing all that is Jesus, the Spirit brings love into our hearts. Love for the Father. Love in turn for us. Love for Jesus. Love for Jesus. The Spirit wants us to know Jesus. But then also love for ourselves. Why does the Spirit bring for us love for ourselves? Well, because Jesus loves you. Yeah, he does. Just as you are, he loves you. But also because the commands, the two great commands, love God with your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbor as, what does it say, as you love yourself. And so the Spirit brings love. He just rest upon us and let us know a deepening of love for our Heavenly Father. Love for Jesus. But also love for ourselves. To know that we are loved as we are. And of course, also love for others. And do you know, sometimes we struggle to love others. I think the biggest struggle is to love ourselves. That's a much bigger struggle. Maybe it's because we know the truth about us. And I probably told the story before, but R.T. Kendall, who was a minister at not Kensington Temple, Westminster Chapel in London, great preaching centre, very well known. And he'd not been there many years. And people started criticizing him, saying he's not like the previous man, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, not as good as him, not as powerful, not as effective. The church wasn't as full as that. And they started saying really mean things about Archie Kendall. And Archie Kendall tells a story of how he went to visit a fellow minister and he was complaining bitterly about what was being said. And the response was, don't worry about that. If they knew the truth, it would be worse. You know? And that's real. If we knew, if everybody, if you knew who I was, truly, you wouldn't speak to me. But if I knew who you were, I wouldn't want to speak to you either. Do you know? And we need to learn to love the person that we are. And that, it seems to me, the Holy Spirit brings love. Love into our hearts for ourselves. And once we know that love and let that love rest with us, it releases all sorts of, a sense of freedom. A sense of freedom, of joy, joyful life and delight. So the Spirit brings love because Jesus is love. The second thing is, the Spirit brings forgiveness into our lives. The Spirit brings forgiveness. Why is the Spirit able to bring forgiveness into our lives? Because we see in Jesus one who forgives. That lovely story about the group of friends. One of the friends, at least one of the friends, we don't know if there were more, but at least one of the friends was crippled, unable to walk, unable to get about. He had to be carried by his friends. And Jesus is in the town. He's in a particular house, and they determine, we're going to take our friend to Jesus. We hear Jesus is healing. Maybe Jesus can heal our friend. And so they go, they carry him. They're not able to get into the house. And you know the story about how they went onto the roof of the house and they pulled back the roof, made a hole. There must have been a devastating scene. They lowered him down and he ends up right in front of Jesus. Now, what would have been extraordinary would for Jesus just to tell him right there and then, you're healed. Dramatic. But he doesn't. He says, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And the Spirit brings all that is Jesus to us. So the Spirit brings forgiveness. A sense of deep, profound forgiveness from the Father. The one who embraces us. The one who says unconditionally, I forgive you. What? I don't actually have to do anything to be forgiven. Nothing at all. I forgive you. And I know we often loathe that. Say, yes, you must do something. What does unconditional mean? No conditions attached. Nothing to pay. Nothing to do. The Father forgives. We just need to receive it and know it for ourselves. The awareness that there is nothing so bad in your life that it would keep you from God. And the Spirit brings that to us because the Spirit's work, as he brings Jesus and the sense of Jesus to us, the Spirit wants us to be free. He wants us to know the Father and have the Spirit cry out, Abba, Father, from within us. So the Spirit brings love. The Spirit brings forgiveness. The third thing, very simply here, is the Spirit brings obedience into our minds. Now, if it's, you're anything like me, the Spirit brings love. Now, I like that. That's good. The Spirit brings forgiveness. Now, man, I need forgiving. But the Spirit also brings obedience into our minds. The Spirit brings the way of Jesus into our minds, into our hearts. Jesus said, the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Just read that again. The world must know, said Jesus, the world must learn that I love the Father and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. And so if it is the way of Jesus to obey, and the Spirit brings Jesus, brings the way, the values, the desires of Jesus to us, then it follows that the Spirit brings obedience into our minds. The desire of Jesus was to obey. The desire for obedience comes to us. Now this can be, I know for myself, this can be a sticking point. Because we can say, well, I genuinely, I want to receive love. Love for myself and love for others. I want to receive forgiveness. But if I receive the Spirit who brings obedience and the thought of obedience, that's a bit of a problem. Because my conscience will be pricked. I'll be aware of what I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing. I'll be aware of what I'm not doing that perhaps I should be doing. And there will be a desire for obedience in my heart. And maybe I'll have to change my relationships. Maybe I'll have to change my attitudes. Maybe I'll have to change what I do with my money, with my resources. Maybe I'll have to change what I do with my time. And so we say, Lord, I want to receive the Spirit, but conditionally. I'll put conditions on it. Isn't that what we say? I'll have the love and the forgiveness, but not too much. And yet the Spirit brings obedience. I said, into our mind. Because we really need to deal with it in our minds. Spirit brings obedience because he brings the way of Jesus. The fourth thing, love, forgiveness, obedience. The Spirit brings light and truth into our lives. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Do you know, I love the fact that in the story I've already referred to about the woman who's found in adultery, brought before the mob, they want to stone her. Jesus says to Jesus, you know, that our law says we must stone her. What should we do? Should we stone he who is without sin? Cast the first stone. And one by one, it's great, it's the older folk, the wise, who say, oh no, maybe they've just lived longer and they've committed more sins, I don't know. But, you know, they take a long time. You know, the older folk go first and then eventually the young. And it's just Jesus and this woman. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And then he says, I am the light of the world. You want to know what the light of the world looks like? Just think of that woman in front of Jesus. Neither do I condemn. That is light. That is the light of Jesus. I think that's such a wonderful scene. I am the light of the world. And he brings light that doesn't condemn, but releases. And it's an opportunity, as the Holy Spirit comes to us, an opportunity to live honestly, openly, truthfully, freely. Now, of course, you know, I've got friends who, you know, have reflected on this truth about living in the light, living honestly. And they want to tell me everything about themselves. Do you know, the truth is, I'm probably not ready to hear everything about you. And you're definitely not ready to hear everything about you. I remember saying to this young woman, you know, I love hearing about you. You know, but she was also telling everybody she could who she really was. I said, you don't have to run naked down the street. You don't have to walk around naked, really. Live honestly and openly, but you don't have to do that. And it's a heart thing. But I will live free. I know who I am. And I will live truthfully. I will live in the light. And it's about not being hidden, not with living with darkness and shadows, not with lies and self-pity and despair. The Spirit brings light and truth into our lives. The fifth, the final thing here, is the Spirit brings a desire for Jesus. A desire for Jesus. The Spirit brings a desire, because this is what the Spirit is about. A desire to know Jesus more. A desire to love him, to walk with him, to say, I would rather spend my time with Jesus than with anyone else. Somebody once said to me, I've not been very long here, why do you spend so much time with your wife? I said, you know, I would rather spend time with her than anyone else in the world. But for them, wherever they were coming from, whatever agenda they had, I don't know. But the Spirit, when the Spirit comes to us, the Spirit brings love. The Spirit brings forgiveness. Because these are the things of Jesus. The Spirit brings a desire for obedience. The Spirit brings light and truth. Because Jesus is the truth and the light. But the Spirit also brings this desire for Jesus. This hunger for Him. You might remember, kind of at school, you know, there are some people everybody wants to hang about with. And that's in our own hearts to say, I want to hang about with Jesus. I want to take myself away from everybody else if I have to, because I want to hang about with Jesus. And the Spirit brings that desire. Now, five things there, and I gave you three responses earlier. Yes, place, and time. What are the three responses? The first, well, yes, it's a very obvious one. It is, I say yes to the Holy Spirit. Understanding what the Spirit does. The Spirit brings all that is Jesus to us. And therefore, there will be a change, a transformation in our heart and life, because the Spirit will bring the loveliness of Jesus, but the challenge of who Jesus is, and embed it deeply in our hearts. The second is place. Now, what happened to me, I struggled for a while just to kind of put this down. I knew what I wanted. Place. When the Spirit fills us, bringing all that is Jesus to us, I think one of our responses has to be about place. You know, when you read, for example, if you turned in Mark's Gospel, you would read there about Jesus, who, Mark's Gospel doesn't start with Jesus, it starts with John the Baptist baptizing. People going to John the Baptist to be baptized. And then you get Jesus, who comes to John, I must be baptized. And, you know, John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. And we are told that heaven opened and a voice spoke from heaven. This is my Son, whom I love, in whom I take great delight. And then you read on. And miracles happen and different things happen. And Simon Peter's mother-in-law is healed. And then so many people are gathering. That Jesus, it says Jesus, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, went into the hills to pray. Now those two things particularly were on my mind as I was thinking about response to the Spirit bringing Jesus to us. One is about putting ourselves in the place of the Father's delight. You know, and when Jesus was baptized, his Father said, I'm delighted in you. Man, I love you. I love you. I'm delighted in you. And for some of us, baptism might be a place we need to go to, because that was where Jesus went to. Now, it wasn't the only place, of course, where his Father delighted in him. But there we know it to be so. But then Jesus taking time out, quite deliberately, shunning the crowds. When the disciples find him that morning, this crowd's waiting. I'm not interested. Let's go somewhere else. Because his desire was for his Father. It's about place. It's about choosing a place. I would rather be in the place where Jesus would be than anywhere else. That's a response we make. And third is time. Time. No relationship happens in an instant. Attraction happens, possibly. In an instant. Relationship happens. How long? 10 years? 20? 30? 40? 50? Lifetime. You know. 100 years. You know. Half of the babies born today apparently will live till they're 100. I heard this week. You know. That's 100 years. Time. You know. We had the week of guided prayer the other week. And one of the things that was greatly encouraged was take time. Take time to be with God. Why? Because we need time with the Spirit. just to bring Jesus to us. We need to read on the word. We need to reflect and meditate upon it. We need to use all different ways of praying just so that we can find something whereby we connect with God. And we just let the Spirit fill us and clean us and bless us with the presence of Jesus. Our response, those three things, yes, place, and time. Now, all of those could have all different consequences for us. But they're all different consequences for each of us, about our lives, about our attitudes, about our ambitions, about our relationships. And there are some things that, even as I say these words, you know you will trip up on unless you get it sorted. But the Holy Spirit will come to you and fill you and say, come on, let's get this sorted, whatever it is. And then it can be a step we've taken truly, deeply, profoundly for freedom. And let's just pause. We're going to pause there. Let's stop there. And we're going to pray together. So let's just be quiet in prayer for a moment. The very simple response we can make is just that yes, to say yes to God. Yes. Yes, I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want the Spirit to bring Jesus to me, everything that Jesus is. I want the Spirit to bring that to me.